Part two of God's eternal plan, the eternal plan of the triune God. We saw last week that this epistle in Ephesians talks about this wonderful plan that God has instituted before, as we know, the foundation of the world, before he created the world. And we talked about how we are the elect of God. We talked about how he's chosen us in Christ Jesus. We talked about how all that works together with the free will of man. And we talked about how we were predestined to be adopted into his family according to his goodwill, to his pleasure, by his grace. He made us accepted in the beloved when we aren't worth being accepted, but he loves us that much that he accepted us through Christ Jesus and through the work of Jesus upon the cross. And we talked about last week mostly that plan, and that plan was the plan of the Father. Yes, it is of the triune God, but the initial part is the plan of the Father who had this plan before the foundation of the world, but now we have the ability for this plan to become ours, and that is because of the work of the Son. I said this before, I'll say it again, don't label me a heretic and throw me out of the doors when I begin to say this, but listen carefully. God the Father, as it is by himself, if you will, that way, cannot save us. Not because he's unable, but because of his own plan. See, God created us without sin, created us. Put us in a sinless environment, but we rebelled and sinned against God, and our sins are ever before us. We're not only born into sin, but every one of us here also have sinned ourselves, and that sin has separated from us from our God. And God's plan, or God being a holy God, there has to be a remedy for that sin. There has to be a payment for that sin. There has to be a price that is paid by his own words. And he can't go back on his own words. He can't go back on what he did. But God had the plan before we even sinned, before he even created us. And in that plan that God loved us so much, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's the part that God played, but it becoming flesh. That Jesus came when he came to this earth to give himself for us. So the Father and the plan, because of his plan, we can't be redeemed any other way. He had to do it for us. So Jesus came to the earth. God became flesh. And we have here now in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 7, in him, meaning Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Through the blood of, do not trample on the blood of Jesus. Don't take it lightly. It's the only means of salvation. It's precious. It's the only remedy for sin. Sin is 100% lethal, eternally lethal. It's 100% deadly. You may catch, a person, I don't say you, but a person may catch a disease that is uncurable or incurable by human means, and they may die in this world. But that's only physical death. Sin, we all have it. We're all contaminated with it. And that sin is incurable by any human means, any other means, even outside of this world, except for one remedy and one cure, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's only by the blood that is the payment in full for our sin, is our sin washed away. And this forgiveness of sin through his blood, we are redeemed. That word redemption is a word that means to buy something. We were lost, undone, we were separated from God, and he bought us back, and he brought us to himself. He paid a price. Peter said we were not purchased by gold and silver, but by the precious blood of the Lamb, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He paid for us with his blood. And why did he do it? According to the riches of his grace. We don't deserve it. We don't, mercy alone would have been great if God would have said, okay, I don't want to now consign you all to eternal hell, so you know what, that's one thing. But he did more than that. He not only now saves us through his blood, but he now what? He gives us grace, something way beyond measure, something that we could never have imagined we should have received because of our sin. And he says what? I'm going to bring you into my family. I'm going to make you my own, an heir. An heir with Christ, an heir with Jesus. He says that he said he gave us the forgiveness of sin according to the richness or the riches of his grace. Grace is amazing. Grace knows no bounds that I know of. Grace is unlimited, amazing favor, unmerited favor, I should say. And he made that abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. In other words, this was not a knee-jerk reaction. This was not a plan that he hastily put together. He said, oh, I messed up in my plan. I didn't expect these people, when I made them so perfect and put them in a perfect environment, that they would ever turn their way from me and sin against me. Oh, what do I do? What do I do? No. God had this all planned before he even made us. And it's a wise plan. It's a prudent plan. It's a plan that makes sense. It's a plan that we need. And he goes on in that wonderful plan that is so amazing, that is so wise. He says, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Who likes a mystery? That's all? Boy, you guys are boring. Nobody likes a good mystery? Come on. Like a mystery, maybe you don't read books, like a mystery, like a show, a mystery, you know? A whodunit, you know? Who took the cookies from the cookie jar? It's a mystery. We'll never know. This is not that kind of mystery, a whodunit. This is a mystery of something that we could never have understood, that could never have been revealed to us, except God revealed it to us. Something that is so amazing. The mystery of his will, that according to his good pleasure, he purposed to himself that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in him. Charlie, you're going to be, by God's grace, by the redemption of his blood, in heaven. And Gloria is going to be with you in heaven. And Maria is going to be with you in heaven. And Maria is going to be with you in heaven. And Maggie is going to be, and Rick's going to, if you're washed and born, we're going to all be there. And you're thinking, oh, that one over there, they're coming too. Oh, shoot, I thought I'd get away from them. Oh, no. Eternity, it's bad enough I got Sunday for an hour and a half. They get on my nerves. Ah. Yeah, we're going to all be together for eternity. See, a lot of times we just think, I want to be with Jesus for eternity. Amen. But we're going to be all together too. All the saints of God throughout the ages, Jew and Gentile alike, all going to be there. Now, thank God when we're there, he's perfected us, and a lot of those things that get on each other's nerves will be gone. I think. But we'll be able to have the capacity that it won't get under our skin like it does down here. But we'll still be uniquely us. And we're going to be gathered together with Jesus. Wow. It's a promise for all of us. He said, this is an amazing problem that we're promise that we're gathered together in all things in Christ, which are in heaven and on earth. To unite, to sum up. You know, one of my passions has always been really for the unity of the body of Christ, which we don't really have nearly as we should. We barely have it sometimes in a called out fellowship, let alone the whole body of Christ throughout the world. But guess what, church, regardless, not only will we be one in heaven, we're one now. Whether you like it or not, we're one now. But our job is to work together to keep that unity in the bonds of peace, the Bible says. To work together. To learn how to deal with the annoyances, the disagreements, which are inevitable when we're still here in this world. Because we're in a fallen world, still in bodies of flesh. But how do we not only just put up with it, but how do we grow together in love? How do we teach one another in love? I had to tell somebody this morning who said that they were upset by something, not here, but something that somebody said to them in church, you know, over in Jersey. And I basically said, listen, criticisms are going to come, but don't let criticisms become bitterness. Listen to the criticism, because maybe there's something in it. Sometimes when we're criticized, and, you know, there's something we do need to see, you know. Don't just get mad, listen to it, and then commit it to the Lord. And say, Father, help me to understand, help me to see. Is there anything in that criticism? But then look at the person and wonder, why is that criticism coming? Maybe there's something going on with them, and pray for them. You know, help them to see it. Maybe help them to learn and to know and to grow. That's all possible because of God's perfect plan. Because he said he's going to gather us together all. And we have to work now for that unity, because one day we're going to be together, and there's going to be no black side and white side, and no rich side and no poor side. You know, we're all together. It's amazing, isn't it? But that's his plan. It's a mystery. Because we have this inheritance that he said, all in him also, Jesus, we have an attained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So Paul is saying, yeah, we Jews who received it first, but all you Gentiles too, you're going to come along for the ride. We're going to all be together. No barriers. No barriers. The only barrier is whether you're in or out, and the only way to get in is through his blood. But you come in and you receive redemption through his blood, you're in. That's the work of the Son. It's the work that no man could do. It's the work that only the God-man could do. And he did it for you. He did it for us. And one day he's going to bring us all together to the praise of his glory. And now it's the work of the Holy Spirit, verse 13. In him you also trusted, that's Christ. So in other words, yeah, we trusted first, the Jews, because he came to the Jew first. And then you all trusted together with him. The same gospel, the same shed blood. There's not a Jesus for the Jews and another Jesus for the Gentiles. It's the same Jesus who died for the sin of the world. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That same one, when you believed, when you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, when you repented of your sin, when you heard the gospel for the first time, second time, third time, fourth, when it finally got to the place where you finally had your eyes open, your ears open, and your heart open, and you turned from your sin, and by faith you received that wonderful grace of God, the redemption of his blood, your sins were washed away. You know what happened at that moment? That same Holy Spirit who pointed all those things to you, because it's the Holy Spirit that shows us these, because we can't understand the mysteries. See, I like sometimes to watch, like read a mystery or watch a mystery, and all of a sudden I'm trying to figure it out, right? Because I want to be smarter than the person, right? I'll figure it out. I usually get it wrong, but I try. Yeah, I figure it out. But guess what? This mystery, no man can figure out. No man can understand it. But the Holy Spirit, who is God, is on the earth pointing us. Hey, look, look, look. You're a sinner. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. But look, here's Jesus. You're a sinner. There's Jesus. He died for you, sinner. And if you come to him, if you repent, you turn to him, you'll be forgiven. And when the Holy Spirit points to Jesus and you finally go, yes, and you receive him by the faith, all of a sudden that same Holy Spirit who was next to you pointing to Jesus comes to live within you. What? Yeah. Wow. And you know what he does when he comes in? He does some things, but the first thing that's hidden right here, he seals you. Seals you. Stamps you. Property of Jesus Christ. Sealed. I like the old, you know, the King James, you know, it talks about he seals us, and he calls it this promise, the earnest, the redemption of our faith, the earnest money. Some contracts still call for earnest money. That's your down payment. When we believe, we're still here on earth. We haven't received our inheritance yet. We haven't been gathered up together in one in him yet, but we're saved right here. You're his right now. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, yep, sealed. How many are old enough to remember layaway? They don't really do it too much today. It's still, I think here and there, layaway, right? Layaway. You see something you can't afford. It's $35. You got $1.50. Ah, I need it. I want it. There's one left. Come back when you got 35. Can't do that. It'll be gone. The guy says, oh, we have this layaway program. Give me the $1.50. It's yours. Pay it off so many weeks. It's yours. It's yours. When you get the money paid off, you could then take it home with you. But in the meantime, it's yours, because guess what happened? The rules of layaway say once you put that money down, it's yours. Nobody else can come and say, I want that, and say, I'll give you double the money. I'll pay you full. No, no, I got it. I'll have to wait my, you know, 30 weeks to get the $1.50 a week or 20. I'll have to wait, because I promise. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's theirs. When the Holy Spirit comes in and seals us, we're his. We're sealed. property. And guess what? One day he's going to come and collect us. Wow. Huh. That's cool stuff, isn't it? The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Praise. Sealed, redeemed, bought with the price of his blood. Remember last week we talked about the spiritual blessings in heavenly places? And I said, we'll talk about them later, and they're not just the physical blessings. You know, how many, you know, we talked about this last week. We've received physical blessings from God. You know, Jesus said, yes, you will be blessed physically because you know what he said? He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. He says, you know, your father knows what you need, and just like he takes care of the birds and the grass and all that, he'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. He'll supply those physical needs according to his riches. Well, he'll do that. But there's manifold spiritual blessings which are much superior, more excellent than the physical blessings. And everybody was thinking, what are those blessings? Well, guess what? If you've been paying attention, most of them are written right in this chapter we just read, in these verses we just read. Let's review them again, that means, okay? Do you know what? He says we're going to have these beautiful, wonderful blessings that come from the heavenly realms. I'm going to read it, verse 3, in this translation. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God the Father is the originator. It comes to us because of the work that Jesus did on the cross, and it's the Holy Spirit who is the one who does that work in us and through us. He's the executor, some people say. He applies that work into our lives. And guess what? The first blessing we saw in here is that we've been chosen by God. Why? I have no idea. How? I don't know. It's according to his will, according to his grace, according to his love. I don't know. But we are. Again, how does that work with the free will of man? I don't know, but it all works together, but we're his. Just like he chose a man, Abraham, all those years ago to become the father of the nation of Israel through his sons, through Isaac, then Jacob, right? And through his sons, the 12 tribes. And they were what? Called by God to be unique possession of his that was here on the earth during that Old Testament times. And what was their purpose, their main purpose? To show the people around them God. Now, they didn't do a good job at it, just like we sometimes don't do a good job at it. But that was what they were called for. Now, we're called to even more than that, but they were called unique. Why did God choose Abraham? I don't know. When we get to heaven, ask him. And if he tells you, then you'll learn. But in the meantime, he did accept it. Why did he pick the Jews? I don't know. It's his choice. Why did he pick you? That's even a greater choice. When you start saying, oh, why did he pick the Jew? Why did he pick you? Why did he pick me? Why? But that's a spiritual blessing. You're chosen. You know what John says about this? The Apostle John, 1 John, listen to this. Verse 3. He says that he loves us so much, the Father, that he calls us his children, and that's what we are. Just simply like that. He called you. You're his. Amen. Amen. You're his. Child. Possession. His. And you know what that is comes from? The second spiritual blessing, which we just talked about, but we'll talk about it some more. His glorious grace. Why again? I don't know. Why extend grace to us that we don't have no merit of receiving and need to receive it? Why? Why give us that grace that showers onto us kindness, wisdom, understanding? Why? I don't know, but it's ours. It's ours. You know, verse 6 says he showered on his kindness to us along with wisdom and understanding. That's a spiritual blessing. I've maintained this for many years. And I'll maintain it to this day. The moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and was born again, I became wiser and smarter. My IQ didn't go up. Still couldn't do a lot of math problems that I couldn't do before. But all of a sudden, I was illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and I started to see things according to God's eyes, and I became wiser. I became smarter because I started to see things from God's way. I began, have this wisdom that where did it come from? Where did this all come from? According to God's plan. He showers us. Think about this. Our Father who is gracious, his grace gives to us kindness, forgiveness, freedom, wisdom, understanding. He makes us more like Jesus Christ. If you're thinking right now, oh, is that all there is, my heavenly blessing? What? There's more, but already you should be saying, praise the Lord, I don't deserve this. It's much more than I deserve. I think that you and I have to relook at some of these scriptures in light of what we're learning today. And when Paul does say in Philippians, as I mentioned earlier, he says this in 4:19, and my God shall meet all your needs or supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, right? I think we have to realize that he's talking more about the spiritual blessings, the things that are available to us that we sometimes don't count as important, but they're more important than we could ever imagine. And I hope our eyes are open to us. See, because all of this happens, now the spiritual blessing, we just talked about it, but I'm going to rehearse it again, I review it again, redemption in his blood. It's not possible unless he did that for us. You're a recipient of the precious blood of Jesus that washed your sins away. Don't snare. Don't say, oh, is that all there is? No. Without that, you're dead eternally. Jesus told us a lot about hell. And by the way, don't try to find out more information about it than what Jesus told you. Don't try to get into other things. What the Bible reveals to you, that God revealed to you, stay within that. Because anything else is going to lead you astray. But he gave us enough to know the horrors of that place. Some of us can't stand being inconvenienced for 30 seconds. And that inconvenience means, oh, my coffee isn't the right temperature. Oh, the room's a little hot. You know, whatever. That's an inconvenience. And we get all bent out of shape. Let alone eternal torture in hell that isn't for 30 seconds, isn't for a bad day, is forever. He spared you from that. That's a spiritual blessing. And then you know where that is? In heavenly places, because that's where our home is going to be. Christ's death, Jesus' death, satisfied God's demands for the penalty of our sin. And this is a mystery. What we have, the church, is a mystery. Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel. It's a mystery in the Old Testament, the gospel. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know why? Because he knew that it was the power of God unto salvation. That gospel that saved you, that gospel that told you about your need for a Savior, that gospel that told you about the blood of Jesus, that only that blood could wash your sin away, that Bible, that gospel that told you that you had to repent and receive him by faith, that gospel is powerful. Don't be ashamed of it. Not only don't be ashamed of it verbally, but don't be ashamed of it in how you live your life. Live a life that presents the gospel every day, that you are not going to hell, and if people would choose to see Christ in you, they can have that same hope in them also. Don't be ashamed of it. Because that's what the church is left here to do. I can say it because I'm one too. All of us knuckleheads, he entrusts the gospel with. All of us. What are we? What are we? Flesh. Imperfect people. Prone to sin still. All messed up in so many different ways. He entrusts the gospel into your hands. Into your life. That's a heavenly blessing, church. Again, it's a mystery because I don't understand why he would pick us. Not just to save us, but to leave us here to be the one. God, send the angels down. They could do a much better job than we can. You know? No. I choose you. That's a heavenly blessing. Don't be ashamed of it. Live it out. Every spiritual blessing. These are just some of them that we had in this chapter. Sealed with the spirit of promise to know that you can never be taken away from him. That you're his prized possession and he's going to take you with him one day. See, every spiritual blessing encompasses all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering. How much would you pay for a little peace? How much would you pay for a little joy? How much would you pay when your life is in the toilet and it's being flushed five times and it's, and you could say that I have the peace of God? How much would you pay for that? Guess what? You can't buy it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. But it's yours. Tell me that's not a heavenly blessing. Man. Right? All of them. Ours. No cost to us. He paid it with his blood. The Holy Spirit came giving these blessings to us. Church, walk in them. Reveal them. Share them. Entice others to come because of them. They're ours. And they're worth more than anything else. That's why Peter cried out that this divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. In other words, that's the way Paul said it. You know what? He gave you everything you need, church, to live this life. And every blessing that is in heaven is yours right now. What should our response be to that? What should it be? Praise. Praise. Now you say, I love to praise and worship. Well, it goes way more than beyond some songs. I love praise and worship. Thank God that we have that. It's a beautiful thing. I love it. But you can sing to God with all of your mouth and your heart. Might not even be close to worshiping him the way it should. You know what true worship is? You know this, but I'm going to tell you again. I beseech you, brethren, Romans chapter 12, by the mercies of God. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Other translations say, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. He bought you with his blood. You're his possession. You're his now. The only way to truly worship him is say, there, take my whole life. Here I am, Lord. You own me. It's no longer I that live. You and I need to stop worrying about what we're getting or not getting right here and now and say, Father, I trust you with this, but now I'm trusting you for all the eternal blessings that are mine now and for eternity. Lord, it doesn't matter if they don't line up with my plan for my life. Because guess what? Your plan probably sucked. You can't say suck on the old. You can't say that, Pastor Joyce. I can. Your plan is not as good as you think your plan is. Come on. I've heard some of your plans. They're bad. And then I heard the plan to get out of the failed plan. It's worse. And some of your expectations. Come on. His way is so much better, even when you don't get it. In fact, it's even better when you don't get it because it's more than you can even imagine. Because when he brings it to pass, it comes along with joy and peace and love. Wow, you can say, I can rest in you. Dying to yourself. See, you say, well, how does that practically happen? Well, for all of us, of course, it's a little bit different. But I'm gonna ask you, by the way, there's more spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Search them out, please. But I also want us to know this. You know what it says in Psalm 37? It says, commit your plans to him, or commit your ways unto the Lord. They have that up? Psalm 37, to get the way, you didn't do it, don't worry about it. Commit your ways, commit your plans unto the Lord. Commit it unto him. And he'll bring it to pass. Delight yourself in the Lord, the other psalm says. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So you know what that means practically every day? Father, it's no longer about me or my plans. It's about me saying, Lord, help me to get out of the way. I commit it all to you. Whatever that may be. Because you know why? Commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust in him. It says, trust in him. Why can't we trust in him? Because we don't trust him enough. You have to say, Father, your way is so much better that I am willing to say that I am giving up all of my own aspirations. Now, that doesn't mean we can't have dreams and hopes. But what we do is we commit them all to him. Say, Father, if it's your will, bring it to pass. If it's not, show me your plan is even better. And guess what? You trust him enough with all of the outcomes. I didn't think I'd be stuck in this job 30 years. You know? Well, wait a minute. Go back and count your blessings. Not only that you had a job for 30 years, but what did he do through that? And if you haven't caught up yet because you've been striving against God saying, I want out, I want out, I want out, just reflect and say, Father, forgive me. How can I make and redeem this time wisely? What are you going to show me through this? How it's blessed me, how it's blessed other people, how I haven't been a blessing, but I can now become a blessing through people. How many lives do we intersect with every day that if we just commit our plans unto him, he would allow those plans of his life to work within conjunction of the plans that we have, and all of a sudden we begin to see, oh, I have worked down the Jericho Road, but as I'm walking down the Jericho Road, it's not so much my own plan that I got to leave everybody dying on the side. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. And I want to see what God has for me to do over here. And it may cost me a few bucks, but I'll gain much more than that. And he'll provide it anyway. That's praise and worship. A life lived for God. A life dedicated to him. A life that says, it's no longer me, but it's you. Now help me to live it. That my life will be a life of spiritual worship. Father, I just thank you today for this word, your truth. It's your plan. And it's better than anything we could have ever concocted for ourselves. But Lord, it's your plan. And we thank you for it. Help us today to truly honor you with the spiritual worship that you deserve, that we're glad to give, because simply, Lord God, we yield everything to you and our lives to you. Teach us what true spiritual worship is. And from that, we would bless and praise our Heavenly Father. And not only would the benefit be towards us, but all those who see us worshiping you in spirit and in truth would have an opportunity to see your blessings bestowed upon us, our response to them, and then through that, they may come to know that you are their God also, who's calling them to himself that they might be saved. So, Lord, we commit it all unto you. We ask, Father, today that you would touch the hearts of everyone who's heard this message today, both in person and recorded, and that your Holy Spirit would carry it to every area of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. I think we have a closing song. Do we have one, guys?
We do.
We do. All right. Goodness of God. Do you love the Lord?
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head down, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. every breath that I am able. Oh, I will sing of the goodness